All right, here we go again.
Oh, I keep forgetting to do the serenity prayer. Good thing I'm not perfect.
Hi, my name is Jen, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I was just saying how I forgot to do the serenity prayer the last time. Thank God I'm not perfect. I'm human. All right, let's start off with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. All right, this is the Steps 8 and 9 workshop with Joanne M. We will be timing this presentation. Our anonymity is like our abstinence. It is a treasured possession. As we ask the help of our guests, especially those representing the press or broadcasting media, in protecting the anonymity of all members present or mentioned here today, we hope you hear something at this meeting which you can take away with you and use. We respectfully request, however, that you eliminate any mention of names in reference to members of Overeaters Anonymous and that no unauthorized pictures be taken. This session is being recorded and will not be edited. Anyone wishing to remain anonymous should use a fictitious name. Two Hatters are requested to speak only to their personal recovery as an OA member at OA functions to avoid implying endorsement of an outside enterprise by OA as a whole. We also ask that you do not record any workshop with cell phones or any other type of recording equipment. The main speaker will speak for 30 minutes. She's going to let us know where she's from. I had the pleasure of checking her in this morning. So please welcome Joanne M.
Thank you. My name's Joanne. I live in Falcon, Colorado, which is like a little bit north and east of Colorado Springs. But I started in OA up in the Denver, Aurora area almost, I think, 40 years ago. I'm going to just give you a really quick little bio because we got such a meaty topic that we need to talk about today. I came in 77. I came from a home where I wasn't allowed to think. I wasn't allowed to express an opinion, show anger. Nothing I did was right. I was the oldest of four, and I was like, somehow I was supposed to know all the rules and keep track of my brothers and sisters and not allow any problem. My father was a vicious alcoholic. And my manifestation of my food disease is extreme yo-yoing. I was never like grossly obese, but I yo-yoed up and down 30, 40 pounds, up and down, up and down, up and down. And so I don't have any real heavy-duty like food log kind of stories, anything like that, and it would be a waste of our time if I did that. I have been abstinent. My current abstinence is January 1st, 99. I had a 5-year relapse from like 95 to 99, somewhere in there. And that was the directly result of me punishing myself for making a bad career decision. I just tore myself apart. And I think that's really all I would like to say about. If you have any questions about myself afterwards, that's fine. But I thought I would start out with a real-life Step 8 and 9 share with you that I experienced on Monday. And I need to tell you, I'm a little teary. But please, it doesn't bother me, so just hope it doesn't bother you. One of my character defects, I hate that word, one of my behavior traits that came out of my family of origin is that I'm like a control freak, power, logistics, get the job done, minimum time efficiency, those kinds of things. And it does really well in the job force. I always got promoted because I was such an incredible worker. But it doesn't make good for family relationships. And I really have done well with that. I mean, the Lord and I have, our higher power and I have done really well. But some of our, like we heard in the Step 7 talk a little bit ago, the Step 7 prayer doesn't, you know, say that we're asking, we ask the Lord, the higher power, to take away our difficulties, but those that are objectionable and not of use, let me say it the other way, those that can be useful to other people, we are allowed to keep. So one of mine is control issues and taking, being in charge, and I was helping members of my family relocate, and one of the members is my granddaughter-in-law, and she's a free spirit, and things go or they don't go. Where me, I have a list, I have a plan. We're going to do this at 8 o'clock in the morning. We're going to do this at 10. And on Monday, because we were going to be leaving on Tuesday, I said, well, I've got this idea. My daughter was with me, so it was the two of us helping my grandson and his family get relocated. This is what we'll do. We'll do this in the morning. We'll split up. I'll keep the kids, blah, 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 blah. And when I went through this long plan. And that's typical me, because I know we got to leave on an early plane Tuesday morning. Got a lot to get done. Something, higher power, washed over me. And when you work the program, it just like, it gets inside you. It works you while you're acting out, kind of thing. But anyway, I went into the dining area and I realized right away, like, you know, and it really is like a step 10, but a step 10 is 4 through 9, so I really can't split them up too well specifically. But I realized I had taken away her dignity. I took away my granddaughter-in-law's right to make her own decisions. And if she wanted to waste the time, my daughter and I are powerhouse when it comes to work. And if she wanted to waste that, I didn't have the right to take that away. And I was filled with such instant sadness that I did that. And I went back in the kitchen and I said, you know, guys, we got to regroup. I was wrong. I mean, yeah, my idea probably would work, but Katie, this is your situation. You tell me how you would like the day to go. And I felt so much cleaner. Even though I was a little bit ashamed of myself, I was cleaner. And that's how, like, steps 8 and 9 work for me, like, today. I want to share a little bit about maybe the past. But one of the points I want to make is our program is full of paradoxes. We have to surrender to win, you know, all these kinds of things. And I don't want to be over analytical, because that's also one of my character defects, kind of thing. But I have to be ever vigilant. I can't let up on my program, not really for a second, because it's right there. And today my issues are more relational. I wanted to touch base a little bit, you know, about the 8 and 9 from the beginning, but I wanted to start off with that, and then I want to truly get into 8 and 9, if that is okay with you guys. Okay, my experience with these steps is through the 4 and 5 is where I began to get my list of making the list of all the people that we had harmed, and in my case, probably stole from, because I ate my way through Aurora, I think, for an awful long time with all the grocery stores. So that's how I started my list. It was also, there's only a few people in my life I really needed to make amends to. Most of them are very close family members, kind of thing, that were affected by my behaviors. And someone had told me a long time ago that one of the reasons that we do an inventory is to see, to identify our behavior patterns that get us sideways with people. And that helped me so much, because I was so afraid if I did an inventory, it would be perfect concrete evidence that I served no purpose in life, that I was as bad as my father told me that I was, and I was as useless as I felt. So I was petrified of doing an inventory. But I could relate to behavior patterns where I would have, like, one best friend, and I took him as a hostage. I couldn't have, there was no sharing. It was all or nothing kind of thing. So my list of people I had to make amends to in the beginning, they really weren't. I put my father on top, which was insane, because I was very blessed to have had an AA female sponsor way in the beginning, because I came in 77. And she set me straight right away as far as, No, you're nowhere near doing an amends to your father. We have an awful lot of work to do. So I strongly, and we all know that by now, but you never do an amends without talking to your sponsor or someone that you really trust. It may take writing something out. It may take role play. It depends on the nature of the offense. But I did want to tell you, so obviously, King Soopers, Albertsons, Safeway, you name it. I made absolute fool of myself. I would go to the head clerk or whatever and say, I'm in OA, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I've eaten my way through your store for I don't know how many years, and I would give them money. You know, I mean, it's like, it was so foolish, but I did it because it was like I stole, I had to make amends. I used to buy the Helena Troy curling irons from me and my two daughters and I, and when one broke, I'd buy a new one and then put the old one in the new box and take it back. You know, I mean, I had terrible things like that I had to deal with, but that was the extent of my list of people I had harmed in that respect. But you get my husband, my two daughters, and the whole step eight changes. And one of the things I want to say is I came in when my girls were like 12, somewhere in that area. And I didn't do amends for several years because I really didn't really do the program properly, I don't think, for 4 years. I went to a million meetings, and I felt hope for the first time in my life. But I did age-appropriate amends. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about. When my girls were teenagers, I talked to teenage whatever that was appropriate. When they were in their mid-20s, and of course I'm continuing to grow in program, so things are coming across to me differently. I made different kinds of amends to them. And as they would grow, they're now like 50 and 52, and probably like 5 years ago was when I probably stopped making amends in some way, shape, or form. I didn't relive the problem to create drama. That was not it. There was an incident in... Oh, dear, I'm going to hurt. I'm sorry. There was an incident in their life or in my life that was a catalyst that I knew it was time for me to address this at a different level. And I have been so grateful that my higher power gave me that insight because as a mother, you never stop role modeling for your children, you know? And you want to do it right, whatever that means, you know? And one time, I have my older daughter and I do not get along. Well, we have a rough go, I'll put it that way. And she had some that neck surgery where they go through your neck and do all that stuff. Anyway, I was helping her, and we were having lunch after going to the doctor for one of the visits. And I said, I'm so grateful that I'm able to help you. It's part of my living amends, and I want to talk about living amends for sure. And she started laughing. She said, Mother, you mean to tell me that I'm going through all this stuff just so that you can get your conscience feeling better and get your amends made? And I embarrassed myself so bad. We were in Sweet Tomatoes. I just laughed so hard because I realized coming from, I meant it in a different way than she took it, but it was every opportunity I've had a chance to change and stay changed. Because my amends were not of the kind, like I said, I stole some things and whatever. I'm probably skipping around, but as I've been in program longer, my amends are almost exclusively relational based. My husband and I are retired, and we live in the same house with an open floor plan, and we never did. We always had stairs, and we both worked different shifts. So we were together. So it changes an entire arrangement of how are you going to find your space and define, oh, boy. And sometimes I get embarrassed that I have to make the same amends, you know, like over and over. But when I'm in the mindset that I'm willing to make amends, and I didn't say this, by the time you get to 8 and 9, it presupposes that you've done a good inventory, that you've got a solid relationship with your higher power, that you've got a sponsor, and hopefully you're doing service. So you've got a well-rounded program, which means I'm open so my higher power can get through to me even when maybe I'm not wanting him to get through to me. I mean, because I put myself out there that I want to be a different person. I don't want to be like I was when I grew up. And my mother took sick in, real sick in 2013, and she was in California, and I'm going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And this has to do with step eight, where we become willing to make amends to them all. I read an article that opened my eyes about that. I hadn't really done an amends to my mother. My mother was the one who didn't protect me and all this stuff in my childhood. So I really figured, showed me, And it was all my father's fault that my mother didn't play any real role. That was quite an eye-opener. Inventory gave me a mature way to look at that. But I'm reading this article, and it says, to withhold forgiveness is a form of revenge. And I was like sitting near a window in the plane, and it was a very powerful thing for me because, oh, you can't hear me, can you? I am so sorry. I could pretend like I'm angry, and that might work. The article was talking about if you withhold forgiveness, it is a form of revenge. And I don't know if secretly deep in my heart I was punishing my mother for having truly abandoned me all those years and just let me be a, you know, whatever it was until I left home at 17. I don't know, but I was so grateful for that intuitive interaction with this article because the last time I saw her, I was able to say, Mom, I forgive you everything. And she held on to me. And it's like, I think I'm working this program fine and I'm doing everything and I've got my list crossed off. You know, higher power will show us what we need to work on in the most sometimes inconvenient ways. But I was so grateful for that article and I've shared that with a lot of people because as a child, another thing I wanted to share that I had learned, and this has to do with like my part in it, you were talking about, is I struggled with, well, how do you do this step 9 with your father? I mean, these are, again, I don't have a lot of people in my life that are interesting. It was these like 4 people, my mother, my father, and my two children, really. And that column about my part in it, I didn't have a part. I was a child. And this, I went to a workshop, one in Arizona, and then we had a lady from Long Island come out to Colorado Springs and do a wonderful retreat for us. And they both said the same thing. They said, if you're wondering what your part in it, and so I'm looking at it like this, you know, I need to really listen, because she must know what's in my heart. She said, it's you're not being willing to let go of it. Ooh, I didn't want to hear that. Because anger kept me going. I mean, that's my energy. That's my high-test fuel, is anger. I mean, I've been relieved of that through working the program, but it can come back, you know, like that. And I felt so, again, I felt clean hearing that person say that. Because, and this ties into our OA 12 and 12 and AA 12 and 12 both have the same sentence, and it talks about in step 9, I think, that the purpose of everything that we're doing with these inventories and these amends is to have the best possible relationship that we can have with a person. That doesn't mean you're going to be best friends. That doesn't mean I'm going to really love my father. It doesn't. It gave me permission. And for me, not actively hating was in fact a way to not to have the best possible relationship with this person, because it took the anger out of me, took the shame and the guilt. I felt like an adult. I wasn't a victim anymore when it comes to those kinds of family things. And those are the kinds of things that I wanted to share when it comes to these steps. The idea of doing a step 10 right away is really, depending on what your situation is, it really is a quick 4 through 9. It really is. But I don't stay there so long. I am open to when I'm really wrong, and I don't like admitting that I'm wrong. I made an amends to my great-grandson. It's like, you know, he has no idea what I'm saying, but I felt cleaned right away. He's 3. And I was trying to give him a bath, and he likes to hit his brother, and I don't know. It's not my problem. It's my granddaughter's problem. But I feel really bad about it because I thought, this is a terrible thing, you know? And I grabbed his hand too hard, and I felt, oh, my God. I was raised in a home being abused. I'm not going to do it. And then the guilt, you know, then the guilt as I'm such a bad great grandmother. And when the bath was over, I was able to say, Matthew, Nana was really wrong. I should not have done that. You shouldn't be hitting back. One wrong doesn't, you know, make another. But anyway, I do it quickly. I do it faster now. I don't stay in that muck. If you mind, give me a second to look at my notes and make sure that I've gotten that I've covered the main things I wanted to cover with you. And let's talk a little bit about more about living amends. When I read that sentence, I think it's what chapter it's in, 12 and 12. But it is was a spiritual awakening for me. That yes, I say I'm sorry. I was a jerk. I was a lousy mother. I was a very short tempered. But the best way I can show that I meant it is to stay changed and continue to look at myself, whatever else I need to fine tune, so that I'm the mother that I wish I were 50 years ago. But I must be doing something right, because my daughters bring their friends to me. Oh, mommy, so-and-so needs to talk, you know? So I mean, the program helps other people who aren't in the program. You know what I mean? Because they're proud of how I am now. And they did tell me, I'm done. I don't need to make any more amends. Both of them, mother, you're done. Don't talk about it anymore. You know? Where am I with time, hon?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, 10 more minutes. Okay, all right. So I wanted to share with you a couple more things that I had heard along the way that had that helped me in some way, shape, or form with step 9. One of the things I want to say is the words that are in here, you know, entirely ready and all. For me, that didn't work. If I waited, I'd still be waiting. I mean, I do what I can do today, because believe me, the harm I've caused, it's going to still be there when I'm more willing, you know, a year from now or something. Because I'm a procrastinator, because you're a perfectionist. So I'm not going to start it until I can do it right. So, I mean, this all and entirely, those are trigger words for my personality. So I do what I can do now and go back, and I can do it again. There's nothing wrong with doing a deeper amends if that's what I need to do. But this one gentleman did a big book workshop in Arizona. He said when he does his amends with people, and I'm assuming these aren't family, this is not family, but he says to them at the end, is there anything I can do to make this right? Is there anything you need to say to me? And then pause and just give that person time to talk without making an excuse, without doing anything. But sometimes it helps that pregnant pause when you're not sure if you're finished. You need to talk too much. You don't want to say too much during an amends. One of the other things that he said, then again, these have helped me in my life with a person he didn't really want. He needed to make an amends, but he didn't really want to be friends with this person. He just wanted to clear some air of something. And the guy wanted to go out for coffee or something, and he said, no, I think we just don't fit socially. And I thought, that's a nice way to say, I don't want anything to do with you. But I don't want to leave a bad taste either. I mean, I don't want to be unkind. I want to clean up my side of the street. And that you just leave it with, I bless you. I hope things go well for you or something. And it's embarrassing when people don't want your amends. They don't forgive you. They don't accept it. They just, it's really quiet. And you go, okay, how do I get out of this one, you know? And I just thank them for their time. I don't go anymore saying I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm, you know, I just say, I'm trying to live a cleaner life and a more spiritual life, and I know I really have wronged you or something. I mean, I leave all that other stuff out because it serves no purpose. But in the beginning, that's the way that I did things. Let me see. I think that I'm finished. I thought we could what I'd like to hear from you guys is any success you've had with a challenging amends, or maybe an amends you're not sure of that you had to really work through with your sponsor, because some amends, one of my sponsees was a psychologist or something, and she thought she had done something wrong years ago, and, you know, we spend a lot of time on, you know, where, how far do you risk before you make an amends? I mean, things like that. I love to learn from people who have had experiences with difficult amends or difficult situations. So I'd like to sit down and listen to you guys, okay?
All right, we're going to have some pitches from the floor. We ask that you stick to the topic of this meeting. We invite a few members wishing to share to please line up on the right of the lectern and step up to the microphone when it's your turn. Introduce yourself, tell us where you are from, and how long you have been in OA. Pitches are limited to 3 minutes to allow as many as possible to share. Please remember that the session is being recorded and you have each signed the audio release at registration.
Hi, my name's Teresa, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Teresa.
I'm from Longmont. And this step, thank you very much for your share. I'm in the middle of step 9 right now, and this isn't the first time I've done amends. I'm in two other programs, and so I've been sober for almost 8 years now, and work the Al-Anon program, too. And so it's really funny that you say, you know, it seems like all my amends have to do with relationship issues, which actually goes back to Al-Anon for me. I had a situation with this other program where we had a group conscience and things didn't go my way. And so there was a vote and I got upset and I got defensive and angry. And I said right there and then, I'm not coming back in my head. So I finished out my service position and I disappeared. Because that's what I do. I amputate and you're out of my life, right? And that doesn't work very well for me. And I knew it was wrong. And some of the people from that meeting reached out to me and said, where have you been? And so I had a white lie. I said, I've been focusing on my OA program, which is true. But I also had made that decision in my mind that I wasn't going to go back to this other meeting. And, you know, and so I have to work through all the steps. And I got to this point where I actually, my part is that I have to make an amends to this entire group conscience group. And it was actually a planning group for an anniversary party. And so I'm working my way through this. And everybody has been so kind and understanding. And they said, we really want you to come back. Will you come back to the meeting? Because I don't like to admit that I'm wrong. I don't want to have that self-searching of my pride and the ego deflation. But I have to. And I already feel better. I feel so much better. My heart is lighter. I don't feel so like I'm beating myself up all the time. And you know, to admit that, you know, I was really wrong about this. And so I've asked for forgiveness, what I can do to make it right. And you know, I'm just on this journey of, like, healing my heart with God's help. And I didn't want to even start this process. And I kept saying, no. And God just kind of, like, shoved me to the door. You're going to do this, you know. You are going to do this. And you are going to be so much better when you get to the other side. So thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Viviana, a compulsive eater. And I want to share with you one of my beautiful amends was with my Nana. Remember my Nanny? She was an indigenous, Colombian indigenous, and for culturally, for her, I was the owner. Yeah? Like, it's culturally. Don't judge us, please. But the thing is, she was in the moment when I was delivered, and she and me was so close all life, but just because I was the owner and she was the slave, she never allowed me to touch her, never. And we were so close, and I understood later, because she died. And when she died, I asked God to allow me to have a little time with her in the moment when the funeral. And I asked God, I would have a little time with her and to speak with my heart and understand and try to have this relationship with her, because it's really something that we need both. Touch us like mother and children, and it happened, and God allowed me to see that beside here. She was in the chest, but I felt that, and this was my part. But when she was alive, she helped me with my daughter. She took care of my daughter too, and I try always to allow them to stay close. Yeah, to try to don't have this problem, to don't touch anything. And I think this was a beautiful amen with her, with me, and with my daughter. And this was nice. Thank you.
My name's Freya, compulsive eater bulimic.
Hi, Freya.
Thank you. I feel like I've been up here so much, but it's such a moving topic, and I just wanted to share. I love that I heard the term age-appropriate amends, and I have two small children who are 2 and 4 and a half, and they are, my husband's at the top of the list, and then comes them, and my amends to them has been, when I did my inventory, I did a sex ideal, and which pertains to my relationship with my husband, and when I came to make amends to my children, what came to me was to write a parenting ideal. And so I wrote, you know, just writing my, this is how I ideally would like to be as a parent. And it's pretty simple, but it includes do no harm, put their needs first, appreciate them for exactly who and where they are. And, you know, it goes into a little bit more detail, but it's simple enough that I can, you know, refer back to it and try to live up to it. And just the process of putting that in writing is incredibly powerful. And the idea that was introduced to me today was that as they grow and my program grows, that perhaps those amends will continue. And that I, you know, can never expect to be a perfect parent, but with this program, I know how to model cleaning it up when I make mistakes. So I'm just so, so grateful. And the question of, you know, making amends to myself, with every amends that I make to other people, it is the most, it's such relief. It's so refreshing. It is such a gift to myself when I'm willing to clean up any harms I've done. So thank you.
Thanks, Freya.
Hi, I'm Marcia, a compulsive reader from Golden. And I love amends because they really free me, as well as hopefully the person I'm making amends to. And I recently had the opportunity to do an amends with my son. And we've had quite the relationship over time. He will be 37 in December, and he's doing very well now after some very tumultuous years. And for a long time, I had talked with my therapist about how do I make amends and when do I make amends, and she said, not right now, not right now, because she felt that there were things he needed to take responsibility for, and that if I made amends too soon, it would give him an out from making the changes in his life that he needed to make. And so I trusted that. And so anyway, this was a small deal, but it was a big deal. And I can be very perfectionistic and want things done my way. And my way is always the best way and the right way. And so it wasn't a big deal, but it was an incident that happened in the kitchen. And I got upset because I was going to have to clean the stove up after he cooked. And because I wanted it done my way, not his way. So I was going to clean it, but I didn't want to do it. And so I made a comment, and as soon as I made the comment, it was like, oh, that was so unnecessary, you know. We could have gone all day without that. And then the next day, another incident happened, and I didn't know quite how to deal with that. So the next day, something else happened, and I made a comment. Well, I didn't make a comment. I just said, was that your toast that's burning in the toaster oven? It was the comment I made, and he just let me have it. And it was really, it was well-deserved because of the way I said it. And so anyway, I was able to write a letter later because I don't do that stuff well face-to-face. I don't think well on my feet. But I just said, you know, my perfectionism gets in the way. I wish it didn't. I wish I could have said things differently or maybe not at all. But it felt really good to just, you know, acknowledge that piece of me that, you know, insists or wants other people to do it my way. And that, yeah, that's not the best way, not the right way a lot of times. So it's this program allows me to do what I can do to keep my side of the street clean. So thanks.
My name's Lee. I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic.
Hi, Lee.
I'm from Boulder. Been in program a year and 4 months. And I'm on my step 9. So I knew I needed to come to this session. And I've done 2 so far. And one of them, I had this laundry list. And she was like, yeah, this other laundry list. I was like, great, thank you. And it was genuine. And to be able to get to that point of humility. And then, yeah, this other really beautiful amends. This person is also in a program. And just to see kind of the reflection of my progress, of that I'm a different person now than when I came into the rooms, and becoming willing, back to the step 8 of, like, my mom, who's top of the list, and getting to that willingness and digging deeper there. And I've just been reflecting a lot around, my relationship with my partner, and feeling these, like, small annoyances, and, yeah, so just hearing about, like, okay, making amends quickly, like, even if there aren't these, like, large gestures that are obviously wrong, really staying in tune and connected to my higher power, when I do make a side comment that's so unnecessary, being able to have that willingness, that humility to say, oh, I was wrong, and going immediately to the point, like, is there anything I can do? I was in self-will. I was being self-righteous. And that just feels like a relief, and such a good nugget to take back. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jen, compulsive overeater in recovery.
Hi,
from Littleton. I'm not speaking as the moderator right now. Carolyn, you're next. I'm in the middle or at the end of step 9, 8, and 9, and it's just this week, so I'm going to be really transparent and vulnerable right now. My second to my last amends was with my ex-husband's new wife, and that was amazing. Totally amazing. She came to my work to have lunch with me. I introduced her as my friend, as my kid's bonus mom. I knew that my heart was clear. That was just the right place where God had me. And then I checked that one off the list. And then a couple weeks that went by, and I've been doing this for four months. And it's my ex-husband. So I sat down and crafted the prayer and started doing my amends, and I'm like, I'm ready. And as I kept doing that, things kept popping up. And I called him names in a meeting, and somebody called me out and said, oh, yeah, you're ready to make amends to your ex-husband? Maybe you ought to sit down and think about it. So I went back to my sponsor, and I said, this is what popped up. Okay, let's write. Let's write. And so I kept writing. And then something else would pop up around him, and I'd write again. I'm not ready yet. God's like, I'm giving you a heart just like mine. I'm not ready for you to make amends with him yet. So then Friday is going to be the day. I'm going to convention for the weekend. I have the whole day off. Thursday night, I text him. I said, can you meet me for coffee Friday morning? God's like, this is it. You're ready to make amends with him. He said, great. I'll meet you at Starbucks, 8 a.m. And that was an individual text to him. And the protocol, and it's just been unspoken, is that bonus mom, my ex-husband, and I always text together. So then something was brought up in the group text, and it says, yeah, I'll still meet you at 8 for coffee. Just bring the kids' stuff. And she retaliated back and said, say what? Now, you have to remember, I just made amends to her. She knew that I was just cleaning up the wreckage of my past. And what she told me when I met with her is, you are courageous, as she walked out the door of my office. So here's a woman who knew my heart and my motive, but yet it wasn't right for me to do it with my ex-husband. I thought, God, you told me you're ready, right? I'm ready. And then it was really hard for me because I'm like, I want to be free of this. I want to look him in the eyes and say, I am sorry. I was a schmuck. I did this, 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 and this. I was ready. I had it all written down. It was going to be beautiful. And I got home, and it went back and forth, just, you know, for, like, text one night. I'm filing for divorce, she says. I said, oh, my gosh. And then I remembered. It says, where it does someone else harm, right? And then I was like, oh, am I harming her? Is this harmful to her? And I said, okay. I said, I'd be happy to submit a letter, and I'm happy for you to read it, just so you know. There's nothing I'm hiding. So needless to say, I'll finish up here, is that I got home and I listened to Voxer, which if y'all don't have Voxer, you're going to be an addict of it now. It's a radio walkie-talkie app. I talk to somebody else in another country. She talks back to me over here in the United States. And I shared with her about my heart and where I was at. And she shared back with me hundreds of miles away. And she said sometimes, and I wrote this down in my journal, rejection is God's protection. And I was like, whew. And that was my higher power speaking to me and saying, it's okay to submit a letter. And so with that, I just share my heart and program and say, I'm so thankful for amends, and I'm so glad for people in program that I can reach out to who then reach back to me who carry God's message as well. I'm Jen.
Thank you, Jen.
I'm Carolyn, recovering compulsive overeater, recovered for today. I'm also in step 9, and I had a beautiful, I've had this, a lot of people have challenges with their parents, and I've been blessed with my parents are my best friends, and my brother has always been the person that I have wanted to give me approval, to think that I'm the best younger sister and to protect me as an older brother, and he could never do that. And when I was in my 20s, and my nephews were born, I thought, I figured it all out. We're gonna straighten this out, and we're gonna have the relationship we're supposed to have, because now they're my nephews to bring into the mix. So I wrote in this whole long letter about all the things that had gone wrong and how it was gonna be fixed by him being my best friend. And to his credit, he called me right away and we had a beautiful conversation, and he said, I can't promise you that. I can't be what you need me to be. And so now with program, years later, he's on my list of resentments of people that I need to make amends to, and I was going to see him this summer, and I felt like I was in such a better place, you know, to be able to just share my heart and say how, you know, just that it wasn't fair for me to put that on him, and just to really love him for who he is. And my sponsor, I shared with her, you know, right before I left, I was like, his girlfriend just broke up with him and walked out after 10 years. And she said, okay, you have your story to share, but just listen. It might not be the right time. And I was so incredibly grateful for that because, you know, I have my agenda. I am ready. I am ready to say my amends, for God's sakes. And I'm sitting there, and because of program, I was able to listen to him And I was able to shut up. And I was able to hear and feel his pain. And there was no way he was ready to hear an amends from me. It just wasn't the right time. And that was such God's gift, because when I got home, I've called him twice, and twice he has picked up the phone, and he has talked for an hour or more. And he's called me not once, but today he called again. And that has not happened in decades. And I don't know where it will go, and I don't care. I'm just so grateful that I could shut up and listen and be there and know that when the time is right, I can say what I need to say. But right now, it's a living amends. And if it weren't for program, I wouldn't have this relationship evolving the way that it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn.
So on page 83 of the big book in the chapter Into Action, I just want to share the promises of what we've heard. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic security will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Will you join hands with me? We'll take a moment of silence for the still suffering compulsive overeater.